Greetings, friends of Essential Aromatica. This spotlight on aromatherapy features Becky Fischelson-Kuber, founder of Blue Marble Botanicals. Becky is one of the many awesome people I have met through the aromatherapy community, and I'm thrilled she agreed to be a guest on the Essential Aromatica podcast. And I can't say it enough that since entering this world of aromatherapy around the year of 2012, I've met some really awesome people, and Becky and I, in full disclosure, became friends, and we even created a podcast together. But just before I get into that, I want to say this, and I say it a lot. I believe it's the plants that bring us together and our mutual love for plants in the bigger world. And some of you may know of Becky and my year-long podcast called Irreverent Aromatherapy, and you can still listen to episodes on most podcast platforms. She was the drip of drip and drop, as we called ourselves on the podcast, and it was so fun catching up with Becky, and our conversation featured in this episode really felt like revisiting Irreverent Aromatherapy, so it's some of the usual banter, so I hope you enjoy the banter and Becky's special spark. Before we get into the episode, just a little bit about Becky's company, Blue Marble Botanicals. Her apothecary was created to share her passion for plant-based ingredients, focusing on aromatherapy and creating small batch products using wild, organic, or sustainable ingredients, and specifically selling locally from her storefront in the beautiful Fond du Lac region of Wisconsin. And I've visited her shop. And just to stress this, she does focus locally, selling from her shop, selling to the local community. And even though she has an online presence, and she'll say this in the episode, she really doesn't ship and have an online store for shipping, but she does make exceptions. So Becky is a certified level 2 clinical aromatherapist. She is currently working on her level 3. Other certifications that are of note, several certifications, but she's certified in HACCP, or Hazard Analysis and Critical Control Points, and GMPs, or Good Manufacturing Practices. And when you know about making your own products, having these under your belt are really important when you're creating products to sell to market, especially GMPs, and HACCP is big. That's for industrial manufacturing. But I digress. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Learn more about Becky and Blue Marble Botanicals at www.bluemarblebotanicals.com and on Facebook as, you guessed it, Blue Marble Botanicals. So without further ado, here is our conversation. Welcome, friends of Essential Aromatica. It's been a spell since I've had a special guest. I'm really happy today to have this Spotlight on Aromatherapy episode featuring my partner in crime, Becky Fischelson-Kuber. She's the founder of Blue Marble Botanicals. And just full disclosure, we know each other pretty well. She was the drip of drip and drop of our very lovely but shortly lived podcast, Irreverent Aromatherapy. And Becky, welcome. Thanks for being here today.
I'm so excited. It's such a such a pleasure to hang out with you again on here.
Such a
we
pleasure.
We had so much fun.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Before we get into our serious discussion, which it's never, it's always like half serious, half not serious.
Yeah.
Don't you miss click and clack of car talk? And for those of you that don't know car talk, just look it up. It's such a great, great old show. And don't you miss radio before the internet and CB radios and scanners? And am I just old or what
no,
do you?
It's how I grew up. My dad always listened to that, loved cars. So yeah, click and clack was an essential radio show in our house. I miss that.
Didn't you listen to, like, didn't your dad have a scanner that you'd listen to in like Tornado Chase or something?
Oh yeah. I had a weird life. Yeah. I mean, it was okay as a child to get in your dad's vehicle because he worked for he volunteered for the emergency government here in my community. And it was, you know, it was a typical childhood experience to hop in a car and get thrown into the center of a tornado warning with hail, lightning, you know, things like that. That was safe then. It was okay. And it made me who I am today.
That's when we didn't wear helmets when we rode bicycles.
Correct. Like you can't live unless you like almost die. How do you know to not almost die if you don't almost die, right?
Oh, I just have to say this. I have this memory, and then we'll get to your business, because this is about focusing on aromatherapy and highlighting you. But I have this, I guess, fond memory. I was camping with my parents. I was what? I'm 7 years old. I have a sister that's older than me, and there was a waterfall, and we're hiking, you know, during our hike up in New Hampshire, and Dad's like, I'm leaving you behind, Mom, with the two girls, and I'm going to go climb up the waterfall. So then we
Oh.
start to climb up with Mom. You know, Mom has two young-ish children, and my sister almost falls down the waterfall. Needless to say, Dad was in the doghouse for a little while. Speak about, you know, almost dying. It's like,
Yeah,
what the hell?
but you knew what not to do in the future when you climb a waterfall. I mean,
Exactly.
it's just that sort of thing.
Yeah,
There's
it's
only
like,
one way to learn, and it's near death experience.
oh, I love you. So, on that bright note, because this is why we like make stuff and love aromatherapy, is like we take chances, right? And you like try a formula out and you're like, well, that didn't work out. Let's try again. So, my first question to you is you know, your website. I remember you building your business, meeting you. You know, Becky and I, we've known each other a few years. Your tagline is wellness from the earth. So I would just like to hear about that and how that influences your business, your life.
I mean, wellness from the earth for me is not just aromatherapy. It encompasses anything nature. So in my little shop, I try to keep things to nature. I try to keep things with, you know, like even, I don't know, you know, little gifty things I'll have, like little earrings with made of dried flowers or, you know, things like that. I just believe that, in my opinion, nature is what makes us whole human beings. Being able to spend time in nature or with things from nature, or even just going online and watching, you know, a nice, calm nature documentary about anything. I just feel that that can make you well because, you know, calm and relaxation. And I mean, face it, we're human beings and we were born to be out in the wild. You know, that's where we came from. So, encompass it.
Yeah, I mean that touches deeply resonates with me. But my aromatherapy message is always that aromatherapy is a way to connect with nature. So I think that partners well with what you're saying. It's like we're humans; we belong outside. When we can't be there, what could we do? And it's a bridge to be
Oh,
with
100%.
nature.
Yeah. And it, you know, all you we've all read the studies that spending time in nature or with things from nature or whatever, we've all read the studies that it is good for your health, not only energetically, but stress, all that.
Why do we need these damn studies to tell us things we already know? Like, why are we always deferring as we as society? Like, well, I feel calm when I go to the ocean or the lake, but I need someone else that's in a laboratory to tell me.
It makes no sense. I agree with you. It makes no sense. I mean, you know, our whole lives, and I know you, your whole life and my whole life, we've been just drawn to being outside. It's kind of common sense, you know, and I wish a lot of people that haven't found that find that.
So,
And I think the only way to say that to them is to say, well, lab studies say that you should go outside.
we have this evidence. This Harvard professor did this, but I have a question for you about your shop. So you have a physical shop, which I think is awesome. I've been there. It's absolutely gorgeous. I'm leading you by asking this, but how many people come into your shop with those afflictions like you're talking about? Like, I have anxiety, I'm not feeling good. And you have this, your message is about nature. Like, is that a lot of your business? Is people coming in being like, I'm
Yeah. Oh.
listless, I'm empty. I don't know.
Yeah, I do. I get people, you know, and it becomes Some of them just come in for gifts. You know, Christmas is like, oh yeah, you know, do you have a diffuser? Nope, but I like how this smells. It's kind of, you know, basic education at that point. But you know, a lot of them will come in looking for something for something. I know how you love that. I need this for this or whatever. So after you get through the holiday season, you get a lot more people coming in that are looking for a cure for an ailment. So I've had two in the past 2 weeks. They have come in for cancer purposes. Either someone they know has cancer or someone, you know, or themselves has cancer or whatever. But it feels like they come in looking for that. I have cancer. Do you have something that can help with a tumor in, and one of them was a tumor in the center of my son's brain. Okay.
Wow.
And I said, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. A tumor does not have a blood supply. There is no way for me to get an essential oil into a tumor in the brain. I mean, it's the center of the brain. How am I going to get it there? Because we think inhalation through the bloodstream, whatever. But the tumor doesn't have a blood supply. So, how is it going to connect to that essential oil coming in? So, I said to her, I basically said, tumor doesn't have a blood supply, in my opinion. But can we do something that may possibly help, may possibly slow it, but also create some relaxation in an aroma that they like to make it less anxiety ridden, whatever. So, you know, being honest with that connection and showing them what aromatherapy is for, like you, Amy, always work with energetics, you know, along with the science. You have the two combined together. You just need to do that. You need to work with the energetics because there's not always that specific what can I have for this? It's not always specific. You have to think, there's the word holistically, right?
Yeah, that and that's, I mean, part of the my other questions about what you brought you to aromatherapy. I'd like to get there, but you're touching on, I think, a really important topic that many of our listeners probably think about. It's that holistic aspect of aromatherapy and not making diagnosis. We can't. We don't
Right.
know. We don't know. And the best thing to do is to look at the individual and be like, hey, you're a whole person. You know, you might be stressed. You have cancer. Okay, you're seeing specialists for that, right? Well, let's see, like you're saying, could I help you with maybe the worry about that? And acknowledging how if someone doesn't like the smell of something, why ask them to use it?
Just because it's for this cause, you
Yeah,
know,
she says
for
in
this
quotes.
ailment. Yeah. Just because it's named that ailment and it's supposed to be for that ailment does not make it a good choice if they don't like the aroma of it. Because half of the experience of aromatherapy is to enjoy what you're
Yeah.
aromatically smelling.
Yeah, the connection. You know, I have a I didn't think I'd bring this up, but I had the pleasure of meeting another aromatherapist here in Manhattan, New York. And she's been here a long time. Happens to be she's from Japan. You know, aromatherapy is pretty big in Japan. And I went to her house, I saw all the books she has. And we were discussing how both of us are like, I'm ready to stop writing about the therapeutic actions of oils and just focusing on the emotions because these are my words, by the way. I'm not quoting anybody. I feel like when I look at a lot of the books and a lot of the quote data, it's always the regurgitated same stuff, and a lot of it's being taken from herbal medicine, herbal claims, and not in an aromatherapy clinic. So anyway, but long story short, I was like, yeah, I'm really chewing on this of when I talk about a plant and its oil that I don't be like, guess what? This has been shown to work with tumors or, you know, heal skin. I don't even want to go there anymore, but I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you know, it's that whole piece, Amy, we've talked about repeatedly in the past. I have for example, I have several blends in my shop right now, and one of them I still have a roller ball that I create all of my products in my store. And all my blends are not from recipes. They're things that I create.
Yes.
Not from other people is what I'm trying to say. Anyway, one of the rollerballs I have right now is Winter Solstice.
Oh, yeah.
It's a combination. Yeah. It's a combination of frankincense and your favorite myrrh and black spruce. And I like the blood orange because I just feel like it's so like, even just saying the words blood orange, it just falls off your tongue, you know, and it just goes with frankincense and myrrh and, you know, in every aspect. So anyway, I have this rollerball and people come in and say, what's this for? It's for you. It's for you. If you love it, it's for you. It smells amazing. And, you know, we can look at the therapeutic sense with the frankincense and the myrrh and the meditation and the calming and the, you know, antioxidant, you know, blah, 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 whatever, all that, you know, just keep all the mumbo jumbo, whatever. Or you can just walk in and be like, this is an amazing thing for this time of year. We focus on the resins because the resins are still usable in the winter and the roots are still usable in the winter. And the evergreen and citrus is a fall, early winter fruit, you know? I'm sorry, orange, you know, that's when they harvest like in Florida. Anyway, so I feel like all of those things combined are just, our bodies are meant for those things in this season. I just feel like that. It's for you. What's it for? It's for you. If you love it, it's for you.
Yeah. You know? It's like, stop and just, I'm just pretending I'm in your shop and I'm with a customer and I'm like, hey, how about you try this? And just, can you just stop and take a deep breath with me? Maybe close your eyes and take a nice smell and just release and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And most people, right, they, I think a lot of folks are really open. They just need some guidance. Cause here's a rant. And I want to talk about why you into aromatherapy, but I just lost my rant. But sorry. It's like,
I sidetracked you with the, oh, yes.
I'm not editing.
Okay, you were
this
ranting
out.
About somebody coming in.
Most people are open and just need guidance. And that's our job as aromatherapists. Thanks for getting me on track. They just need the help. That's why we're here. We're guides. We've done the training. And I, again, want to go into why you chose to do this. Why did you open your shop? Why did you study this? Why did you get multiple certifications? You know, when you could just, I'll go there, go to one of those big companies and become a salesperson and make medical claims. But anyway, yes, we're here as guides. I just said a lot there. To answer how
so,
you please.
So why I opened my shop is because... I'm not gonna lie here. I was probably like 12, maybe 10. And I was at our summer cottage, whatever, you know, and there's a bunch of people at the end of our driveway, you know, riding their bikes or going for walks in the summer because it was like a vacation tourism area. And these people would come by, and so I decided that it was a brilliant idea for me to walk around and find rocks, okay? Rocks, just plain old rocks, not crystals. I'm not like, oh, look at this amethyst, you know? I'm like 10, I have no clue. Okay, so I'm going around like looking in landscape stones and gravel and I'm like, oh, this is pretty, this is pretty. Yeah, I was weird and I put it on a table and sold rocks. I know.
I didn't
so
know
I've,
that, that's awesome.
I've always wanted to have a store. Like I always wanted to have like this little shop where I could do what I wanted and sell what I wanted, you know, and whatever. So anyway, fast forward a really long time, did college, did a real job teaching, wasn't for me, whatever. I decided to go into aromatherapy and take the classes through aromatic studies. I didn't just stop there because I tend to go overboard with everything I do. So I just kept going and taking more and getting this done and papers. And Amy, you were, as a matter of fact, you were one of my instructors then and graded my papers, I believe.
Yep.
That was before we really knew each other. And then we went on a distillation trip together to Sedona area with Phoebe Aromatics, Claire Litcher. We learned how to distill, harvest ethically, everything like that. And I just had such an interest. I'm like, this is it. This is what I'm doing. Because I had such a passion for it. And I'm like, you know what? I am going to bring this to small town USA, you know, whatever. And if they don't like it, I don't care, because I think this is amazing and the world should have this knowledge. So that's why I did it.
And the knowledge of coming from the 10-ish year old person, though, it's like, I'm going to collect rocks, because it is that love of nature.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but trying to sell rocks, really. That was so weird. I was a weird kid.
But you have rocks in your shop now, right?
I do. I have crystals now. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to lie about that, though. I don't do crystals like for myself. Like, I don't do like that. Because I have aromatherapy, and believe me, that's enough. It's enough.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in the pursuit of I'm not going to say pursuit of knowledge, because knowledge changes, right? What we think is right, in quotes, 1 year is disproven maybe by other people that are curious. And I think what I'm trying to get at here is there's this sense of curiosity and a pursuit. And we know that you could sit, I have bergamot or bergamot here on my desk, and I've been working with it. I'll never know bergamot. I'll keep trying. I need to meet the plant. You know, I'm going to keep trying, but all that stuff I can read in books, like it's analgesic, great with anxiety. Like, how do we really know that? So what I'm getting at here is, I know you, so I'm going to say this, you're curious and you're going to keep learning. Mm-hmm. And we're like, there's a sense of curiosity, because I know aren't you still studying aromatherapy? Oh. Aren't you still taking classes?
I'm supposed to be, I'm supposed to be finishing level three. I don't know how many years I've been finishing my level three. I just have been putting off the anatomy and physiology. I have the rest done. I just need my anatomy and physiology done. Probably take me a few weeks to get that done. I don't know why I haven't finished, but I'll get there.
Well, we're adults. What's the rush?
Yeah, totally.
But my point is, you're still pursuing learning and
absolutely
coming up with things. And what am I getting at here? It's just like there's a
curiosity. I feel like there's a curiosity. I mean, like Amber. Do you want to touch on Amber? Because I want to touch on Amber.
That's a recent thing you were in touch with me about.
Yeah. Right? I was like, an employee of mine was like, oh, we should do Amber. It smells so good and whatever. And I'm like, oh, what a great idea. So I went on Google. I should not have done that. I went on Google, and of course, you can distill amber essential oil by mining amber, crushing up the amber into a powder and distilling it to, for perfumery purposes, or there's some method of, I don't want to say it's regular distillation, because it's not. I'm not going to claim knowledge of this, is what I'm saying. So where did this amber come from? Where did this essential oil come from? Is it an essential oil? Because they're claiming it's one. I bought one, 100% not an essential oil. 100% not from amber. It's a combination of a bunch of stuff. Yeah, I got duped. Anyway, so, you know, even as much experience as I have and as much curiosity as I have, you can still mess up. So that went on the shelf, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to call it amber, but I might use it, the blend, for something, because it does smell kind of pretty, but I'm not going to call it amber.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you're bringing up a really good point, and thanks for your candor and honesty, because I make mistakes too. And I think just being open to that and being curious is really fun. It's like you said, like, if you don't almost die, how do you know not to do that? But there's a lot of, I can swear it's my podcast, there's a lot of shit out there.
Oh yeah.
Like, don't go to Etsy. Don't buy it on Amazon. Like, if you see a picture, don't trust that picture is actually identifying the botanical. Like, there's so much we should question and just not, I'm saying this for listeners, right? It's to be really curious and be like, hey, Amber, I'm curious. Who is that fine lady named Amber? And get it and be curious. And maybe you'll be like, oh shit, that's really not, maybe it's a perfume ingredient and it's synthetic. Who knows? And that's actually, let me say this and I'll pause. That's a reason to go directly to the supplier and be like, hey, I just bought this, you know, hemlock spruce oil. It really doesn't seem like it's hemlock spruce, and it feels weird. Like, there's no reason why you as the consumer could reach out and try to find like where they got their stuff from.
And that's exactly what I did. I went to the supplier and I said, "Hey, you touted the flag that you distilled this amber, or distilled, I don't know what they call it. It's really not distilled. It's a method of distillation or method of extraction." And I said, "You touted this flag. You touted all these certifications. Do you have the GCMS testing on this? Because I would like to see it." And of course, they couldn't provide it. And I said, "Okay, so I'm guessing this is fake. Could I get a refund?" And they gave me a refund on it.
Oh, good for
So,
you.
yeah, and they had no backup. They weren't like, "Oh, we get it from blah, blah, blah in blah, blah, blah region from whatever." And I should have known when I bought it. It was from actually kind of a source that I thought was pretty good, but now I'm like, okay. Anyway, so point being is, yeah, ask those questions. Ask them, because Google lied to me. So
The Google.
the Google lied to me, but be curious about it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's the fun part. I'll go down this rabbit hole because I was just spending time with bergamot, as I was just saying. And bergamot, it's cold pressed, it has phenocoumarins in it. It's exposed to UV light, you could get a sunburn. And there's all these guidelines and stuff, but you know what? Sometimes I'm just like, screw it. I'm gonna take this mist. And I did the math. I weighed my ingredients out. It's at the right percentage of the IFRA guidelines for the amount it could be in this. And I'm gonna be like, I'm wearing this and I'm walking out in the sun.
Good for you.
I'm aware of what might happen, but there's no black and white, right? It's like knowledge is power, and that's why we do this stuff. So I'm never gonna be like, never put bergamot on the skin.
I don't feel that way either. Yeah, I really don't, because I feel if you have the knowledge to know that, like lime is another one that can cause sun thing, sun irritation with it, putting it on the skin. And so I was using a really cool blend that I made with lime in it, and I went out in the sun and I'm not dead. But I have different skin than other people. So, and I did use it in, what am I trying to say? Cut down. I used it
What?
in the right amount.
Dilution.
Dilution. I don't know why I couldn't think of that word. Maybe it's an age thing. But anyway, so yeah. So I used it in the right dilution, didn't have a problem, and I'm not going to sit out on a boat for 10 hours after applying it all over myself either. So, common sense is another thing, but
That's
know
the
it.
thing. Yeah, know it, be educated, be curious. There's a lot of great resources out there, and you're bringing to mind that I do want to. I think we're highlighting you in this. It is about your business. Like, go check out Blue Marble Botanicals.
Oh, come on. This is
Becky's
way more
hilarious.
fun, not this is way more
No,
fun
but
not highlighting me.
it is. But you're highlighting yourself by talking. We were just bringing up something I really enjoyed learning. And I think a lot of students, when they hear about Marguerite Moret, the grandmother of modern aromatherapy, and she
Yes.
talks about the individual prescription, and like, but that's what you're saying. I might apply this. I know my skin is different. I'm not going to be going out on a boat. When you're meeting with a client, you'll talk to them, get to know about them. You get to educate them, and you'll be like, I'm making this for you, and this is how you're going to use it. Right? It's not one size fits all. Just to go back to that, what's that good for?
And that's the thing. Let's pick on patchouli. It's like major, like
Ooh.
antidepressant, major antidepressant, right? It's one of the highest not antidepressants out there, if I can say that. It's I just made it a health claim. Anyway, but it's ranked as one of the best for depression, right? What if you hate it? Half the population hates patchouli. 50% hate patchouli.
I
So
want to know where you got that stat. I'm kidding. 50%
I
is
just made it up. I
No, but
did.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. A
Like for
lot of
real.
folks
Yeah,
don't
for
like
real
patchouli.
though. For real though, when people come into my shop, it's 50% hate it or love it. Literally 50%. I mean, I would have to do a research study on it, which I'm not going to do, but you all take my word for it.
I'll come and show up with a clipboard. But you're right. Like there's, but you know what? In defense of patchouli, there's really, really good patchouli out there. And
Oh
then there's
yeah.
really bad stuff
Oh
that
yeah.
a lot of people were exposed to in high school when they were around those people that wore the bad patchouli.
Spiritual Sky. That was the brand. Spiritual Sky. They still have it. I looked it up.
I wonder if
Spiritual
they,
Sky does exist.
but maybe people back when malls existed, that's where you'd get the patchouli. You'd have to go to the mall or like the head shop.
Yeah, the head shop. Pick up your Spiritual Sky brand patchouli. I'm sorry, I like them. I still to this day, I'm like, hey, you did it first.
Yeah. Thank you, Spiritual Sky. We're giving you a shout out, and I'm going to have to go look them up.
Yeah. They're cool. I give them a coolness factor. I'm like, go Spiritual Sky. Nice work. So yeah, I bought tons of patchouli like that. But then I started getting, I mean, and that was in probably college-ish. And then I started getting into like actual bottles of patchouli and actual bottles of sandalwood. Like, not that there wasn't actual Spiritual Sky. It might have been, I don't know. But anyway, I started getting it from actual, you know, essential oil distributors. And then I think that's where I started getting into all this stuff.
You
I don't know
just
where
great.
we are going with that either, but.
I was gonna loop it back to the fake factor. And again, as a shout out to you, you reach out to suppliers, you get samples, you like look into their quality, and like you're saying, you had Spiritual Sky, shout out to you, Spiritual Sky. But there's something that grinds my gears. And I think you know that I've made candles with essential oils. I've thought about it a lot. I've decided making candles with oils is bad, or you really, really have a damn good reason why you're doing it. And where I'm going with this is a lot of people I meet, I do a lot of health fairs and stuff like that. People are like, yeah, I have these aromatherapy candles and I have like the sandalwood and the amber. I'm like,
What?
yeah, there's no way there is sandalwood oil
No.
in that candle. There's no
There's
way
no
there's
way.
amber. Like we already kind of talked about the amber thing. There's no way that you're getting a lot essential oils into these candles. They're basically synthetics, maybe some essential oils, but it's like it really gets to me. And I'm there as the certified aromatherapist, and I'm just grinning. I'm like, oh yeah, candles. That's a great place. Okay, so you're into smells. Let's talk about what you like. And I'm just like, oh, that's not aromatherapy and that's synthetic.
Oh, that is really sad. And what makes me more sad is if everyone on the planet knew how much actual, because India or sandalwood only grows wild in India, right? And
Well,
if
yeah, the
people,
Santalum album, but there's Australian and all that, but
yeah, but isn't
we
that
don't have to
brought
go
in?
down
That
that.
was brought in
Yeah.
from India. I don't want to go there.
Yeah, let's not go
Anyway,
down that road.
it's cultivated, but wild. You know, it really grows in India is where it originally came from.
Yep.
And if anyone knew the cost of sandalwood from India, you would not be pouring it in a candle
No, and
and
you.
burning half of it off in the hot wax.
Exactly. I mean, these are car. They're carbon-based monoterpenes. It's like they don't even make it, but
Yeah.
sandalwood is protected by the Indian government. You know, to your point,
Still.
this is highly protected. So folks, like it is a bit of a soapbox, but the aromatic candles, like please just go love your bees. And Becky, you've kept bees.
Yeah, I do. I'm not gonna lie though. I do carry a brand of candle in my shop, and it is handmade in California. And I'm gonna shout out to them because I sell a lot of their product, Wax Apothecary, and they do handmade candles, and they do only use essential oils. However, when they label something as like, for example, I'm gonna pick. I don't know. I'll pick something. I can't think of one. Let's say I'm gonna say eucalyptus. It's clearly not eucalyptus essential oil 100% because the camphorous aspect of eucalyptus, the cineol, is gonna vape off as soon as the essential oil hits the hot wax. So you're never gonna get a true like, you know, camphorous feel when you smell a eucalyptus candle. However, they have a blend and they label right on the front of their box at blend number, blah, blah, blah. They're trying a blend, you know, to get it to smell similar to eucalyptus. However, It may not be 100% eucalyptus. I'm okay with it. It's still essential oils. I trust that company. I know what they're doing is right.
Yeah.
That's my little talk about candles.
But it's like the origin, like why I was bringing it up is like, folks, it is about being the educated consumer. I mean, it puts a lot on the consumer, honestly, but I think it's like anything. Just if you like it, great, but don't be like that's not aromatherapy.
No,
the bad candles,
not.
It's just not aromatherapy. And if I can go down this road, because in your shop, like you do your own blends, you work with essential oils. And I think a lot of folks that I encounter, and I love being the interface where I get to go meet the general public at like company health fairs. And I'm like, yeah, essential oils. That's what aromatherapy is. We don't work with synthetics. We don't work with fragrances. We work with genuine, authentic essential oils that are obtained through the distillation process. And people are like, oh, I'm like, yeah, it's not about a pretty smelling candle. And I don't say it that way, that bluntly, but.
Or a Glade plug-in.
Oh, God.
That claims they're using essential oils.
Yeah, like 0.02% of that blend is an essential oil. Anyway, that was a long soapbox, but
it was fun though.
Let me see. I'm just gonna kind of wind down, and of course I want to highlight anything you want to share with listeners, but I touched on, you know, your shop and studying small batch, local. I just wanted to highlight that about you. And I think it's already come through, but you focus on local small batch stuff. You do your own distillation. You like get to know your suppliers, let's say. So I just want to highlight your passion. And if I could put words in your mouth, you're proud of, you're on Main Street. You're a Main Street USA shop. Like you're highlighting your brand and maybe artisans in the area. So I'd love just your thoughts on local and what you do.
I feel that the same way you feel about essential oils, they should be special. They should each essential oil should be special to the person using them. And I feel like a lot of my essential oils are special, whether they're distilled by me or by somebody I know. Even if the full product isn't that, I feel like a product, maybe a rollerball, one of the essential oils should be special, that you know it's special and you know I worked really hard to find that for you or make it for you or find a person that provides that, that is really special. And I think those things are really important. You know, I'm even carrying, right now it took me years to find a person who supplies just body soap, you know. She owns a goat farm. She lives about a half hour away from me. It took me years to find somebody that did that. She doesn't put palm oil in her product. Shout out to Wild Root Acres. Doesn't put palm oil in it, uses her own goat's milk off her farm, uses organic essential oils. I even know the brand she uses. It took me for, as far as coloring, it's all like natural coloring. Like she'll use like, I can't think of it a one right now, but I trust me, she uses, you know, coloring, natural coloring in it. Just gorgeous stuff, smells amazing. And I'm so proud of her. And it took me years to find a supplier like that, years. So I just, it's what I do. Like everything in my shop, I want it to be special, important, and meaningful. You know, instead of just throwing a bunch of junk somewhere and trying to sell it.
And this is not disingenuous. Like I know you're passionate and I feel that passion's coming through, and like you're a cheerleader for these people. Like it took you a long time to find the soap and you're like, yay. And now you're sharing that, like you're getting that person's soap out into the world. And that soap's coming from a place of, I'm going to say, of heart. And she's connected to that soap and she takes care of the goats. Like there's a whole thing and you're helping your local community by keeping it local.
Oh, for sure.
And
a lot of it's not local and that's okay.
Yeah,
but it's quality and I've looked into it and, you know, it's something I would buy, which is pretty picky.
I vouch for that. You have standards. And I'm not saying that to be cute.
No, for real.
I just want to highlight that special quality that essential oils are really special, like you're saying. We know it takes a hell of a lot of material, depending on the plant, to get that little bit of oil. And this is, I have so many soapboxes, it's ridiculous, but I know that like that one little drop or using the one little roller ball along your jawline once a day can go a really, really long way. And we don't have to shower ourselves with essential oils. And we could appreciate that specialness that you're talking about.
Which is why I, people come into my shop asking for shower bombs or whatever.
Oh, yeah, bath
And I get,
bombs.
I mean, bath bombs are a little bit better, but like a shower bomb, it's just gonna wash down the drain.
Gotcha.
Hang a wet washcloth on your, on your spout in
Yeah.
your shower or something, and put essential oils on it. Let the steam in your shower do the work. You don't need to be washing that down the drain because it's such a waste.
It
It's
really
so
is.
pretty. It's so pretty. Why are you wasting that down the
Down,
drain?
yeah.
So,
I
unless
mean,
it's expired or something, but
the whole thing of that, and I think we need to have you back later in the year for a to be continued episode. But the whole like down the drain and just fragrance in essential oils specifically and wash off body products is a crime.
100,
Like, why are we doing that when you could apply a beautiful cream or lotion or body oil after the shower to really enjoy that and have the oils work their magic with you versus being like, yeah, like you said, I'm just gonna put it down the drain.
Yeah, it makes no sense. So people come in, do you have shower bombs? No. And I explain to them why. I'm like, it's very wasteful to
What
just
did
be
they
pouring
say?
that down the drain. They're like, oh, I never thought of that. I'm like, yeah. I go, why don't you just wet a washcloth, hang it around where it's steamy, and put some essential oils on it and reuse that over and over, because the essential oils aren't going to just go off of that washcloth. They'll still be on there your next shower, and you can add a little more rather than
Yeah.
just wash it down the drain. I
That
don't know.
is,
That's how I
it's good
feel.
just to share perspective. And like I mentioned before, it's part of our job is to educate because we are the ones that went to school and still think about this stuff
And why would you want to
daily.
consume that much? Like, why would you want to keep coming to my shop and purchasing, say, six shower bombs for $10, $12 and wasting that money when it's really not necessary to be going through and consuming over and over like
Yeah. Thanks for saying that. That's a really,
that?
I mean, obviously I feel the same way, but it is consumption's an issue. And to highlight you, like you're not about just pushing product. And I think everyone knows that listens to this podcast. I'm pretty against just making something to put it on a shelf and be like, buy it, keep buying it, buy it. Get me my platinum diamond status.
Quality over quantity, in my opinion.
Yeah. Wow, Becky, this is a thanks for spending time with me. I love always spending time with you. And just before we wrap up, is there anything you'd like to share with listeners about things you're doing, products you're excited about, anything in the pipeline?
I just kind of go with the flow. For Valentine's Day, I'm going to be just selling plain old, not plain old, gorgeous. Let's call it gorgeous because I love it. Rose hydrosol. Why not? Spray it in your water, spray it in your hair, spray it, it's just, I'm gonna sell it in a mist. Just here you go. Simple rose hydrosol for Valentine. I just think it's gorgeous, and the hydrosol is such a beautiful way to enjoy it without having to spend $300, and it's just beautiful. So that's what I'm going to highlight for Valentine's Day. Rose hydrosol, it's how I roll. Just for listeners out there, I am bluemarblebotanicals.com on the internet. However, I don't ship. I am not somebody where you can go to my website and click on this. I'm not going to allow it generally. Because I don't have shipping set up on my website. It's more for people in my local community to choose what they want, pre-order it, and come and pick it up. I'm not gonna lie, I have done shipping and I'm set up, but it's not $2 or free shipping or anything like that. But I do it for people that I'm making something personal for, whatever. So that's my website. I'm on Facebook, you know, things like that. Again, I'm not trying to push my products to the world. I'm trying just to keep it special for my area and anyone else that understands how special it is.
I love that. So next time anyone's going to visit the Green Bay Packers, go a little bit south to Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. So Becky, I'll of course have everything in the show notes, but I really want to thank you for spending time with me. I love seeing you. So
thank you for inviting me. So glad we got to reconnect.
I know, I love it. So I'm just going to, for some reason, I started to end all my episodes this way. So I'm going to end it. I don't know why. So thanks for spending time with us. And until the next time, ciao for now. I don't know why I started that, but I
love it.
All right. Thank you, everybody.